As Unitarian Universalists, we find wisdom and inspiration in many places: Jewish and Christian scripture, other sacred texts, the arts, science, nature, our own experiences. Our tradition keeps us open to revelation from many sources. And today's wisdom comes from Leanne McElroy Langton, who teaches creative and academic writing at California State University. I noticed that most of my students were gazing longingly out the window on an unusually beautiful Southern California morning. I paused in my lecture to discover that they were collectively noticing the unusual fruit exploding on the tree just outside of our window. What kind of fruit is that? They wondered with more curiosity than they had ever shown for Plato or Rousseau. And so I told them about the pomegranate, how according to the Quran, it filled the gardens of paradise, how its image had once adorned the Temple of Solomon, how it doomed Persephone to Hades, how it symbolizes prosperity and fertility in Hinduism, how it came here to us, from the Iranian plateaus to Turkey, across the Mediterranean, and transported across the oceans by the Spanish conquistadors. How the city of Kandahar, now bombed and ravaged, was once reputed to have the finest pomegranates in the world. I told them that this was my favorite tree, and then we all went outside for a moment to marvel at this tree, just staring for a moment while the wind blew across our faces a tender caress for all the ages, and then the moment was gone. The next day I walked into class and someone anonymously had placed a single pomegranate on my desk at the front of the class, an altar before 30 students, all newly baptized, the red stain of pomegranate seeds outlining their smiles.
Sometimes, as in this poem, thank you, Ginny, curiosity can bring us to gratitude and even joy. Wonder found along a path of wondering. It starts with noticing, look at that thing. And then with questioning, what is it? What is it made of? How does it work? And then connection, right? How does what I know relate to other things that I know? How do I put it together? And then meaning. How does it affect me? How does it connect with me? What might that mean? I've talked before about this path of wondering that I've experienced looking at the night sky, right? Noticing the tiny lights across the darkness. Thinking about the elements within those great fiery balls and remembering the first time I learned that I'm made of the same stuff. Feeling again that sense of connection with everything in the universe and being blown away at how utterly amazing that is as it sinks in, and thinking, no, feeling, that if there is a thing that can be called God, it is within that frame. I invite you to close your eyes. Soften your gaze. Take a few moments. Recall to your mind and spirit a thing that has sparked that kind of wonder in you. What kind of wondering do you think it sparked in that long ago first woman to have a tree in that garden that looked so lovely but was forbidden? Can you imagine, like our children, being in a God-given garden and wondering like that about that tree you've been told to stay away from? How long would it take you to give it a try? The consequence for eating of that fruit was to have to live outside of the garden that has been called paradise, to have to wrestle sustenance from the land instead of having it freely offered. In exchange for the knowledge of good and evil, Eve and Adam had to learn to work in an environment described as hostile. The New Revised Standard Version of Genesis says, "Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. You are dust, and to dust you shall return." Kate Berardo wrote, "It wasn't curiosity itself that killed the proverbial cat. What really got him into trouble was his inability to deal with the new situation he was in. And when it comes to learning about new environments, curiosity is key." There isn't much written in the book of Genesis about how Eve and Adam adapted to their new life outside the garden. We know they managed to feed and shelter themselves and survive, but that is pretty much all the story tells about their physical life. Being human, I imagine they had to find a way to live with the shame and blame that God placed upon them that came with their exile. This was a new environment after the paradise of the garden that became a foundation for generations to come. The story goes on to tell that they had two sons, Cain and Abel, and that Cain killed Abel in a jealous fit after God showed approval of Abel, but not of Cain. God had warned Cain that anger was a destructive response, but within a context of scarcity and blame, an environment of scarcity and blame, how surprising is a violently jealous response? After Cain kills his brother, God comes to him and tells him he is cursed, so that no crops will grow for him. But God also puts a mark of protection on him so he cannot be killed. And Cain, the brother who acted violently on his anger, just as the God of the story is portrayed as jealous and vindictive, went on to parent the entire human race. There's much written in other works to lament the consequence of the eating of the forbidden fruit, the fall, right? Their separation from their paradise and their God. And Eve's curiosity has been solidly identified as the reason for that exile. So much has been passed down through the generations since this story was written about how Eve was to blame for the fall of mankind, of humankind, and how original sin came about as a result of her curiosity and her subsequent disobedience. Atonement theology, the idea that a sacrifice has to be made to absolve humankind of this original sin, grew out of this story. And the story that Jesus offered himself as this sacrifice became necessary to create the possibility of salvation. And we humans, descendants of this story, if not literally of Cain and Adam and Eve, have our lives and our society framed within its assumptions that it would have been more acceptable to stay in the garden, curiosity held in check, safe and well cared for. A blogger named Roger at spaceshipearth.org wonders what civilization might have been like if the story of our beginning had been told in a frame of celebration rather than a celebration of curiosity rather than of blame and punishment. What if, instead of how dare you disobey me and kicking her and Adam out of the home God had made for them, God had said to Eve, curiosity and the desire for knowledge and awareness have led you to disobey me, but I like your courageous and independent spirit. You have started to become conscious of yourself, of others, and of the world about you. This means you must learn to take responsibility for your own behavior. You will become aware of primitive thoughts, feelings, and inclinations which stem from your animal nature. You are not responsible for them, but for what you do. It is your behavior that you must learn to control in accordance with the more enlightened human nature, which will develop in you to progressively replace your primitive animal nature. Your descendants will learn to understand the workings of the world, making great discoveries and inventions along the way. Used wisely and responsibly, these will make life much easier for them, greatly reducing hardship and suffering. Used vainly and irresponsibly, they will cause great harm. If the story had been told this way, the explicit consequence of Eve's curiosity and subsequent disobedience would have been simply the necessity of taking responsibility for her actions. Eve and Adam's adaptation would have been focused on the knowledge they had gained rather than on how they would survive outside the garden. And the message of the story would have been that our relationships with each other and our God must be based on truth-telling and discernment and learning and ownership of our actions. A society based on these principles, rather than one based on anger and punishment, sounds a lot like one which we're all encouraged and nurtured toward our whole selves. It sounds to me like the beloved community many of us are working to build. The Unitarian Universalist minister Rebecca Parker says this more eloquently than I can. Here are her words. In this interpretation, and she's talking about the standard exile from Eden story, to know the world in its goodness and its evil is to know ourselves capable of both. To know the world in its goodness and evil, and to know ourselves capable of both, is to lose God. To taste reality is to follow the devil. Such a theology is admirably suited to the preservation of compartmentalized, alienated states of mind. It teaches those who have absorbed its message that goodness is aligned with innocence and ignorance. To not know the world is to know God. To know the world is to lose God. Further, it teaches that a social structure in which one is abundantly provided for is not to be questioned. Abundant provision is a gift of God. This image comforts white people who benefit from economic structures that assure their living and their thriving. One is to accept privilege and never ask at what cost the walled-in garden is maintained. When religion sanctions ignorance, it cultivates alienation from life. It blesses segregation and encourages people who are comfortably provided for to remain compliant with the created order. There end the words of Reverend Parker. I believe in a God, a spirit, an energy that arises within and between us when we're doing the things that Eve gave us the ability to do. Asking questions of each other, listening to the responses, wondering about the world and our fellow travelers, pushing back against the structures that keep some of us comfortable at the expense of others. For me, curiosity is the key to staying engaged with that spirit. It gives me the ability to access wonder, to imagine a world where we are all free to do that. It's the beginning of subversiveness, which is necessary to create change and make that world. It's the foundation of adaptability, which is important to me as someone for whom at least some of my identities represent the dominant culture. As things shift, it means that at least some of the places I've been comfortable for me, some of the places that have been comfortable for me will be less so. And I will need to adapt to that. We will all have to adapt to that world we're trying to create. And finally, curiosity is a natural state, born out of the first woman to walk the earth, the mother of us all. I want to close with an amazing poem by a young woman named Ansel Elkins called Autobiography of Eve. Wearing nothing but snakeskin boots, I blazed a footpath, the first radical road out of that old kingdom toward a new unknown. When I came to those great flaming gates of burning gold, I stood alone in terror at the threshold between paradise and earth. There, I heard a mysterious echo, my own voice singing to me from across the forbidden side. I shook awake, at once alive in a blaze of green fire. Let it be known, I did not fall from grace. I leapt to freedom.